Just sit down, please. We're going to start the show. Please, please sit down. Please, excuse me. No, we don't serve alcohol. I know we should, but we don't. Please sit down.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I had an argument with somebody yesterday at a cocktail lounge. It's where I have most of my arguments. It's very conducive to what you're doing. I had an argument. This other person said that they were the laziest person on earth. And I said, okay, you don't know who you're dealing with. No, I am the laziest person on earth. And the other person said, no. I am the laziest person on earth. Well, this went on for like 6 hours. Just back and forth. There were no examples of why one was lazy. It was just saying, no, I am the laziest. But I got to tell you something. When it was all over, I won. I am the laziest. I could prove it to you, but I'm way too lazy to come up with examples. Lazy is very interesting because it's extremely easy to do. It produces absolutely nothing whatsoever, and yet is greatly satisfying and at the same time, most unproductive. You know, they say in life, find your passion and do it. I have. I'm lazy, I'm passionate about it, and I do it well, and no one can stop me. Laziness is very interesting in a way. Here's the problem with being lazy. When you set out to do nothing and you're successful in doing absolutely nothing whatsoever, there comes a point very quickly where you say to yourself, I'm very bored. I have nothing to do. I'm bored. Well, that's because you're lazy and you're not doing anything. Yeah, but I don't want to do anything. It's like working against myself. When I actually achieve doing nothing, I get bored and I want to do something. But when I want to do something, I'm too lazy to do it because I don't want to do anything. So I'm arguing with myself, not even out loud, because that's too much effort. It's very, very interesting. I constantly am battling with myself. There's a gigantic war raging within me. It's a passion that's waging within me. I'm glad that I'm entertaining myself. Speaking of entertaining, over the weekend, last weekend, I went to a play. It was a Shakespearean type of play. I don't like Shakespeare because I think Shakespeare went out of his way to make sure that nobody understood what the hell he was talking about. I really feel that's the case. I don't know if people actually talked like that way back in Shakespearean times, but if they did, then there was something seriously wrong with them. The language is very odd. I saw a play called Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead, and it takes two characters from Hamlet who were incidentally nothing in the Hamlet play, and then turn them into major characters where absolutely nothing happened whatsoever. It is the epitome of boredom and stupidity. And people pay money to sit in a chair, look at the stage, and watch people walk around that have absolutely no purpose whatsoever. But that's Broadway. That's the stage. So I'm watching this play. Nothing's happening. Nothing makes any sense. It's just people talking. But I can't even understand what the hell they're saying. They talk in this Shakespearean philosophy kind of garb, which is absolutely absurd. I'll give you an example. Hamlet, thou art dust around. How do I think that that could be the moment of tranquility where nothing seems to matter? And yet upon hindrance of the obstruction, one notices that in no way can this go on, my lord. Everybody knows that nothing happens when you are to be bequeathed by his own majesty, who know not of why you think it's something, when nothing has appeared before you, and shall never occur upon these grounds, these hallowed, sacred grounds of life. I speak to Ophelia, I try to Ophelia her, but she doesn't really let me, because she knows not what happened, and why nothing ever does happen, thou not feeling that? It's consequential in the least, and monumental in the most, but neither shall win, because freedom is but a speck upon the doorstep of your foot. This went on for 3 hours, and I couldn't believe it. I thought that they were playing a joke on me. I thought it was one of those like shows where, you know, they play a joke on somebody in the audience, and then the lights go on. They go, "Oh, we're just kidding. This is stupid." But that didn't happen. The joke was not on me. It was on everybody. This is the way the plays are written in Romeo and Juliet. Juliet, I sit on the tower and I gaze at your lovely eyes, which bleed with love and compassion. The Capulets do not know what it goes on in my heart as I bleed for you in restitution and in wonderment of your beauty and your hair. Touch my skin as I touch my nose, and together we shall touch both of our parts, and notice that nothing in this world matters other than you and me and everybody else. I don't know. Romeo and Juliet, the hell's going on with that? What the hell's going on? Why did he write things like that, this Shakespeare guy? And then there's a question whether Shakespeare even wrote that stuff. If I were Shakespeare, I'd say, hell no, I didn't write this crap. I don't know why he takes credit for that. So I'm looking around in the audience as I am so bored off my ass. I mean, I can't leave because I don't want to appear to be the only person that doesn't understand this, like there's something wrong with me. So I'm looking around the audience. Half of the people are sleeping, and the other half have this gigantic smile on their face like they're enjoying this. And I really felt like you know, just tapping them on the shoulder. Excuse me. I know you're watching the play. I got a question for you. What the fuck is going on here?
Shh, quiet, sir. Quiet, I bequeath you, be quiet. For quiet is but the man and himself with himself, and not really feeling the intensity of the other things that are going on. When one shelters within their own body, they find treasures and riches that they have never found before in the discovery of man and life and the planetary system.
Okay, all right, fine, never mind. Sorry I asked. For days, I walked around in a stupor, and I just couldn't figure out, like, why do I not appreciate this stuff? Why? What is it about me that I'm not appreciating what these apparent works of wonder that Shakespeare just spews out this crap and people sit there and watch it and then applaud? I didn't know. And at the end of the show, finally it's over, which is worth applause in itself, not because it was great, just like they ended this thing. And the audience gives them a standing ovation, and I looked around. I was one of the few people that did not get up. The other people that didn't get up had walkers and wheelchairs. So I kind of got it for that. Maybe they were really handicapped and couldn't get up. Maybe they just really didn't appreciate the performance either. I really can't tell the difference. I assume it's the latter. I love that phrase. I assume it's the latter. How am I going to change a light bulb? It's too high up. Should I use the ladder or should I find a contraption with a pole on it and suction cups so I can remove the bulb? I can't reach it. Which item should I use to change the bulb that I can't reach? Well, I assume it's the ladder. Oh, okay. I don't know. I'm not sure. So what do you want to talk about now? I thought so. Did you go out and get a sandwich when I was doing this whole bit about the Shakespeare? How rude of you. How ostensibly rude that you do this as I talk about these things that matter most to those that have none and little to those that have nothing.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice? Or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I just don't understand. What were you thinking?
Okay. You know, that was abrupt. You know, in politics, a candidate will always use this particular line to get your vote. And they will always say, let me ask you something, sir, ma'am. Are you better off today than you were yesterday? My answer is always no. Yesterday I had more money. Yesterday I could go down the stairs without any pain. Yesterday you didn't ask me that stupid question. Am I better off today? No. I'm never better off the next day. No, I'm always better off before. That's pretty much. I'm better off. When are you better off? Not right now. I'm sorry, not right now. Politically, I'm not better off because of this Trump guy. He has basically ruined everything. That he has taken my foundation out from under me. He has pulled the rug out from beneath my feet. By shaking my foundation, by taking us out of the world's leadership, by turning my entire world upside down, doing incredibly stupid things on a daily basis that now actually have international consequence, like ISIS being re-released into the world again, that kind of shit. So am I better off? No. No. Thanks for asking. The answer is no. Thank you. You know, it's not always about money. It's not always about money. I know in this country, this isn't a country, it's a company. To Donald Trump, and he actually said that he made this Freudian slip months and months ago. He said, you know, this is the United States is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful company. I mean, country. Okay, Don, that was it. That was your slip of Freudianship. Anyway, I don't want to talk about him because he just annoys me on a daily basis. He gets under my skin. I don't read his tweets, but somehow they're bombarded into my head osmosis-wise. I don't know how that's possible, but it does. Let's just move on away from him, please. Am I better off? No, I am not better off. I am worse off. Thank you very much for asking. I can't wait for the next election. Something to do. Oh, my God, please. Impeach him. Or just get him a new set of golf clubs. Just get him out of there, please. It's just, can we all agree on something? I mean, maybe politically, maybe policy-wise, you like the guy. Can we agree on something? What a major asshole, huh? Wow. How did that happen? Well, I know how it happened. And I don't want to talk about it. Better off today. Give me a break. I don't think so. I don't even think he's better off. I think he's really worse off. I swear, in the middle of the night, Don must wake up, after he tweets, of course, and probably says to himself, what the hell did I do? My father always told me when I was young, he says, Ron, because that was my name. And he knew it. He was told that was my name. And he said, Ron, you know, always remember this. Be careful what you wish for. And I remember saying to him, what are you talking about? Be careful what you wish for. And it's frequently true. When you want something and you finally get it, you very often say to yourself, what the hell did I just do? What the hell did I just wish into my life that now I wish would go away? Because, ladies and gentlemen, to be perfectly philosophical about it and bore you completely, it's not the goal, it's the journey. I won't repeat that because I have no idea what I just said. It's not the goal, I'm going to repeat it anyway. It's not the goal, it's not getting there, it's the journey to get there that builds the character and is the excitement and adventure of it. Once you're there, it's like, all right, where am I going to go next? Yeah, know what I'm saying? Be very careful about that. That happens in marriage all the time. People marry people like, oh, I got to marry that person. That person is going to be my spouse someday. And my goal is to marry that person and my life will be complete. And then you pursue them through dating and relationships, and you build a bond and a friendship, and you have sex and all that kind of stuff. The journey is incredible. And then you reach that goal. You're on the altar. I don't care what altar it may be, but you're getting married, and you tie that knot. I don't know how that works. And then you're about a year into the marriage and you look at yourself in the mirror. You look horrible. You look weathered. You look like you're 50 years older than you were a couple of minutes ago. You look like a piece of crap on a bad shingle. I don't know what that means either. And that's when you say to yourself, be careful what you wish for. This did not work out. It was the journey that was fun. The results, not so much. Now, where is my next goal? Yeah, my father was right. He wasn't right about a lot of stuff. As a matter of fact, he was wrong about just about everything. But that one phrase caught, and it was true. As I got older, I started to realize that I'm turning into my father, and that is always a chilling experience for me. And it is for women, too. Like, oh, my mother was, oh, she just didn't understand me. When I reach her age, it's going to be different. I'm going to do it right. And then you reach her age, and it's like, I've turned into my mother. All of a sudden, you say something or you do something, and you stop in your tracks, and you say to yourself, oh, my God, I'm turning into my mother. It's like a horror show. That's how much we regard our parents. When we become like them, we get horrified. It should be the other way around. Oh, this is great. I'm turning into my father. This is the man that was my parent that taught me, the wise man. I'm actually turning into his wisdom and into his wonderfully fantastic school of thought. We don't do that. We never say that. It's a horrific experience. Oh my God, did I just say that? Oh, I'm turning into my father. Oh, kill me now. Just kill me now. It's a very sad state of affairs. Things usually aren't what we thought they were going to be. Have you found that out? Yeah. Yeah. When you're a kid, everything's a fantasy. Everything is hopes and dreams. It hasn't happened yet, but I'm going to make this happen. And I've got a whole life in front of me. And then you wake up the next day and all of a sudden your whole life's behind you. You didn't do a damn thing that you thought you were going to do when you were a kid. None of those hopes and dreams were even reached or even came close because you're too lazy. And but that's okay, because that's everybody goes through that. There are a couple of people that actually fulfill their dreams. They just write books eventually. But there's not a lot of them. There's not a lot of them, because if you fill your dream professionally, you've probably like really screwed it up family-wise or relationship-wise. You see, very few people are perfect all the way around, and those that are have built that marketing tool when they're really, really not. Don't worry about it. Everybody never turned out to be what they really wanted to be. Oh, you hear them say that. No, this is great. This is what I wanted, and everything worked out perfectly in my life, and everything's on target at my age. Those people, don't believe them. Don't believe them. There's some facet of their life that is really, really screwed up. They just didn't tell you about it because it would ruin the whole picture for them. It's probably delusion on their part, or it could be on purpose. They don't want you to know their darker, inner, horrible situations. We all want to look good to the other person. You know, we don't reveal the bad stuff. Some of us do. Some of us do as a pity move, you know. How are you feeling today? I don't know. I don't understand why I'm alive. Well, that's nice to hear. Have a good day. You don't do that. You shouldn't be doing that. It's not a good thing. All right, kids, we have an incredible guest. Halloween's coming up, and this is an idea that I had never heard of before. I'm not too sure how I feel about it, because I don't know much about it, but I'm going to find out right now. So what do you think? Are you sophisticated enough to handle this? Are you mature?
The Ron Van Dam Show is intended for mature audiences.
Oh, so that's what ironic means.
Yes, honey. Yes, it does.
Well, that's it for me today. Interesting. I think that was interesting. I'm not sure. I really can't tell. Have yourselves a wonderful day. Make it a great day. It's all up to you, you know. Don't let other people mold what's going to happen to you today. You do it yourself. As Shakespeare once said, be careful what you wish for, you ridiculous man, you sniveling little pickle.